Hi, this is Kendra Brodine, founder and CEO of WomenLawyersOnline.com. And today I am thrilled to bring you Andrea Weinstein. She is a partner in the Wall Street law firm of Schoenfeld & Weinstein, LLP, where she practices corporate business and securities law. She's a graduate of Columbia Law School and Albany State University, where she graduated summa cum laude and Phi Beta Kappa. She received a certificate in Chinese language from Beijing University in the People's Republic of China. Andrea is also the co-founder of CommitmentNow.com, and that is the website, CommitmentNow.com, which is an exciting new website for women that I hope we'll learn more about over the course of the call. And she lives in New York City with her husband and three sons. So welcome to the call today, Andrea.
Thank you so much.
It's great to have you here, and if it's all right with you, we'll just jump right into the questions.
Sure.
All right. Well, the first question I have for you, I'm wondering if you'd look back over your life, over your professional career and your personal life, and consider whether you would think of yourself as being good at or adept at balancing work and life or competing interests in your life, or if you think there was maybe a pivotal point or a critical time that made you reevaluate the way you were doing things and maybe do something differently.
Okay, so there definitely was a pivotal point. I don't think I was adept at it at all for a very, very long time. I was always trying to, for a very long time, I felt like I was not enough of something. And the pivotal point for me was the birth of my third son. I'd been working full-time. I had two children. And I had my third son, and I just realized something's got to give. Like, I can't do this anymore. I'm commuting over an hour. I'm working long hours. And what happened was that I just took a look at my schedule and reevaluated and realized I just need to make some decisions that will allow me to balance my home life and my work life in a better way.
So it sounds like it was that birth of the third son, maybe when you were outnumbered in terms of children.
Oh, God, there's only so many so many days you can pump breast milk at the office.
Oh,
and
goodness, that's true.
It was a lot, and so that's when I realized, okay, I need to make a change.
And so tell me then, having made that change, did that send you into a different kind of law practice or a way of doing law, or was that the impetus for Commitment Now? Tell me what changes you decided to make.
So I made a few changes. First was I'd been commuting over an hour each way, 5 days a week, and I just realized I can't do this anymore, so I started working from home. First 1 day and then 2 days. And in that time that I spent commuting, I was able to get a lot of work done. So I was sort of decreasing the hours that I was working and able to spend more time with my children while still getting the same amount of work done. That was the first thing. And it did. I actually started the website about a couple of years. The idea of it came a couple of years later when I realized that I was either working or parenting, and that it had been a very, very long time since I had done something for myself. And the site commitmentnow.com allows me, it's a creative outlet, and it's time consuming, it sort of energizes me in that I'm enthusiastic about it, I really enjoy it, and I think it allows me to do my other jobs, parenting and lawyering, in a better way.
Yeah, I've been looking around the website, and it's just a lot of fun. I encourage anyone listening to check it out because it's got a wealth of information, a fun personality to it, and I can definitely see where it would be a creative outlet for you.
Oh, thank you.
So thinking from there and, having talked about that pivotal point with the birth of your third son and your journey since then where things have really changed for you, what would you consider your biggest challenge to have been along that journey in trying to create that kind of balance and trying to create that kind of success in your personal and your professional life? What was your biggest struggle or challenge?
I think for me, the biggest struggle was, like, wherever I was, I felt like I was missing something. You know, I was at work, and all of a sudden I would pause and think about what I was missing at home, or I would be playing with my kids and think about, like, oh, my God, I have a contract that I have to get tomorrow. And So that I think that was the biggest hurdle, was trying to sort of be where I was and have my head there fully, and without taking away from what I was doing.
So it was a struggle of being really fully present, it sounds like, wherever you were, being fully there, and then when you went somewhere else, sort of figuratively or literally, mm-hmm. being fully present in that place.
Exactly, exactly. And then there was the struggle of, you know, guilt. I felt guilty, you know, if I missed one of my kids' events. And I struggled also with, you know, trying to explain to clients, or being afraid at that point to explain to clients, you know, why I had to leave early or why I was coming in late. So I struggled with that for a while too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the flip side of that, from looking at the challenges and the struggles, what would you say were lessons that you learned, either from those struggles or just other lessons that you learned along the way that helped you to do the juggle or do the balance a bit better?
So I think the biggest lesson for me was when I realized that, like, I know this, it might sound cliche, but my kids come first, my family comes first, and it sort of freed me up. And it's not that my practice wasn't important to me or isn't important to me, but it sort of gave me some perspective. And it was also a lesson that for so long I had been afraid to, not afraid to reveal to my clients that I was a parent, because I am and I've always been proud of that and my kids' pictures are in my office, but sort of to tell them, you know, that I had an event and I could certainly provide the services that they wanted, and they would get it. I would do the work at home that night. So they might not get it by 5 o'clock that day, but they would get it by the following morning. And I was pleasantly surprised that most of my clients understood, that my women clients certainly understood, because a lot of them are struggling or were struggling with the same issues that I was. And my male clients either had wives, mothers, sisters who were going through similar things. So I think that was the biggest lesson, was just sort of to level with my clients and explain to them, you know, what I was dealing with, and that they understood.
So they surprised you a little bit in their level of understanding?
They did, because I think, for women, so often, you know, we're trying to be either or, and we're forever trying to strike a balance between our home lives and our professional careers, and there's pressure both ways. You know, there's all those mommy wars, and I was surprised. And I think there can be a balance between home and work. You know, there are days when it doesn't balance, but all in all, I think that there can be.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's not a perfect system, but sometimes we get close. That's the best we can do sometimes.
And I think that's important, is that, like, my kids sometimes, when they'll complain, and I'll just say, like, I'm doing my best. Like, I really am. And I think then they pause. Like, I think that's all you can do. And I think this sort of idea of, you know, the woman who has this thriving career and lovely home life and is always able to give everything her full attention, I think that puts a lot of pressure on women. Like, I think there is a balance, but I think we have to acknowledge that, you know, sometimes something's got to give.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Right. There's no perfect system, actually. Sometimes we have to make a few sacrifices, even though we hate to do that. We have to say no's or things like that once in a while, just to try to make it all work.
I agree. And what works for you might not work for your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or the woman in the office next door.
Right. It's very individual, it seems like. You know, we all have our own lives and our circumstances and the way that we're wired, and that means that what works best for me might not work best for you, and vice versa, but not to judge that, but just to support one another in making those decisions.
Exactly, exactly.
Andrea, what would you say then, given that the larger lessons that you've talked about, what might be two or three tips or strategies that you've used tactically or practically in your life or your business that made the juggle a little easier, ways that you found to alleviate a little bit of the struggle between balancing life and work?
I would say the first one is technology. You know, the that I can work from home and tap into my work computer and send emails and files to clients and correspond with them without going to my office has been, I'm hesitant to say life-saving, but life-altering for sure. So that's probably the hugest thing. And I guess two others would be, I learned, you know, I talk to my kids and they respect the fact that I work and they support me. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't work out, but for the most part, it's just part of their lives, you know, that mommy goes to work and, or mommy's on the computer, or mommy has a phone call at 5 o'clock, and they understand, like they have their work and I have my work. And the third was, again, like leveling with my clients and, you know, still being able to service them in the same way while at the same time letting them know. I felt like that sort of alleviated some of the pressure when, you know, when I let them know that, I, you know, this document that you want by 5 o'clock today, you know, my son is in a play and I will get it to you by 10 o'clock tonight if that's okay. And more often than not, like, I found that a lot of deadlines are somewhat arbitrary and the clients were flexible in terms of that.
When you mentioned technology, what are some of the technological tools that you have found to be most helpful?
Well, I have we downloaded the programs from our work computer, on our home computers that allow us to tap into our work computers. I have one called GoToMyPC. It's from GoToMyPC.com. Mm-hmm. And so at any time on, you know, from my laptop or from my home office, I can like actually get into my work computer. So I have my files, I have my emails, I have my calendar, and so the clients have no idea where I am. You know, it's coming from my work computer, and it doesn't matter where I'm sitting. I have my files, and I'm able to do my work, and I send it to them. That thing, you know, just really basic cell phones, you know, I can reach them at any time and they can reach me. And I think even if I'm not at the office, it gives my clients a sense of comfort that I'm reachable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are so many between computer advances and being able to work from home and technology on our phones and even just the kind of phones we have. I have not yet succumbed to sort of the BlackBerry iPhone, but I know many people do. Do you have one?
I'm embarrassed to say I don't. I don't.
But it's coming. I always say, I know it's in my future because, I mean, even then it's like having part of my computer in the palm of my hand. So there's just, and then, of course, there's the challenge of balancing that, you know, and not being wired to everyone all the time and putting boundaries on that.
Right. That's another conversation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The self-control required there. But still, I think there are those tools that we can use that do make life easier, do make keeping in contact easier, and then we have to control ourselves.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, Andrea, I'd love for you to share a little bit. You mentioned Commitment Now and the impetus for that and the fact that it serves as a beautiful creative outlet for you. What would you say, or actually I'd just love to learn more about it. Could you say a little bit more about what it is and how folks can get involved with it and just tell us a bit more?
Oh, sure, thanks. So it's a project that I was working on for a little while. We launched it just a few months ago. It's www.commitmentnow.com. And the idea was, we had a couple of ideas. I have a partner in this, Paula Davis. And the two of us were, it was two things. One, we were feeling like we wanted a site that would recognize that women are multifaceted. So, for example, you know, a woman attorney who is struggling with home-work balance might seek articles from experts on this topic. But that same woman might also be really interested in literature or music or dealing with her preschooler's tantrums. And we wanted a site that, sort of an omnibus site where women could go and their many, many interests and concerns could be addressed without switching from one site to another. And we also were looking for, wanted to develop something where sort of women could be validated instead of told what's wrong with them. I mean, I know I don't want to hear anymore how I should lose 10 pounds or, you know, find more time in my day to relax because I don't have any more time in my day and, you know, I don't know that I'm ever going to lose 10 pounds. So we wanted a site that would sort of say to women, you know, you're great. the way you are, and here's some great information about these topics that you're interested in without talking down to you. And so to that end, we actually have a feature which may be the first of its kind. We call it the Inner Beauty Pageant, and it's on the site, and it's a sort of a contest or I guess it's a contest where women supply information not about what they look like or what size they wear or what kind of hair they have, but about strengths that they've displayed, friendships that they have, empathy that they've shown, risks that they've taken. And it's amazing the entries that we've gotten and the feedback from women. It's really exciting.
Oh, it sounds wonderful. I mean, to say it sounds beautiful, your Inner Beauty Pageant, but I do. I love that. I love the idea of it. And like I said, I peruse it a little bit, and I want to definitely dig in more because it sounds wonderful and so empowering, and yet, I don't know, just affirming of everything that we are and we come up against, and yet being very real and stripping aside some of those, I don't know, external ideas of what beauty looks like.
Exactly. Thank you. I'm glad. Mm-hmm. We set up a Facebook page so people can become fans on Facebook, and it's been fun. We get great feedback, and women from all over the country are writing, and women of all different ages. It's really, you know, new moms, women who are not married, empty nesters, grandmothers. It's great. It's been really fun.
Oh, I'm sure that sounds wonderful. So, Andrea, in addition to Commitment Now, or any other website you'd like to, I don't know if your firm website or anything you'd like to share in terms of people learning a little bit more about you and connecting with you, if that was appropriate at some time.
Oh, well, yeah, thank you. So, for my law practice, we have a website, wallstreetlawyers.net. Our practice is located on Wall Street, which is why that's there. And it sort of describes our legal practice, which is, it's a general legal practice. My specialty is business, corporate, securities law. I write a lot of contracts, but we have associates and partners who are litigators who go to court. We do a lot of civil litigation. We do real estate work. It's wallstreetlawyers.net. And we started this practice. Actually, I was pregnant with my first son when we formed this. It's grown. As my family has grown, my law practice has grown as well.
Oh, well, it's a wonderful way to do that, because so many times, you know, as our families grow, we actually have to pull back in our law practice, but it sounds like, you know, through some creative ways of doing things after, you know, we talked about very early on that pivotal point in the birth of your third son, mm-hmm. you've grown your practice and you've grown these wonderful outside, almost avocational opportunities that you have, like Commitment Now. So you're growing in both ways.
Yeah, it's been you know, I feel fortunate. It's been a good ride.
I'm sure. Oh, well, it's delightful to connect with you, Andrea. I'm wondering if you have any sort of parting thoughts or parting words of wisdom before we close out the conversation.
I guess just, you know, the whole idea of balancing is, for so long I got caught up in this image of what I should be doing and how I should balance everything, and I would just caution other women to sort of avoid that and figure out what works for them.
Right. It does seem that, and I even struggle whether or not to use the word balance, because it doesn't seem like the best word. We're going to have to coin a new term. Oh, my gosh, this word that's more apropos, because it never is truly a balance. And so there's words like integration and alignment, and I think those get closer, but it's never perfect. And we even say work-life balance, as if work isn't part of our lives. And
it's so true. No, you're right. You're so right.
They're
yeah.
not mutually exclusive.
No, they're not. No. Yeah, I'll give that some thought.
I know. Maybe we can start a poll or some sort of creative conversation about figuring out a new word that works other than work-life balance, because there's, I don't know, it's much deeper than that, and balance itself, again, I think most women that I've talked to that would say that, like you, that it doesn't sound right. It's true that their family and their relationships are their foremost priority. I haven't come across someone who says, oh, my law practice comes first and my family is a long, strong second, you know. So I haven't come across that woman yet. Maybe I will.
Oh, good.
I know. I don't know what kind of conversation that would be. But just in terms of thinking about balance, it's almost as if they are equals, and yet, you know, are they equals? So it is a matter of finding whatever works for you and an integration. Maybe that is a better word or whatever it is, but acknowledging that it looks different, as we said, for everyone, and that it's never a perfect balance, but we give it the best we've got.
It shifts.
It shifts, exactly.
Yeah, like as your life outside of work shifts, like so does that, you know, elusive balance. You know, like being a mom of an infant is totally different from being a mom of a teen.
Right, exactly. Oh, constantly shifting, practically day by day.
I know.
They learn new skills. They come home with new words. Who knows what's going to happen?
Right. Well, new problems.
That's right. Going to be ready to respond. And so I think there is that necessary flexibility. But as you said, explaining. I just love the idea that you brought up in terms of explaining to your clients what's going on, explaining to your kids, just putting it on the table, not trying to pretend that you can be more than you are or do more than you're doing or that you can do it all at once, but just saying with perfect honesty, this is what I'm doing now, this is when I can get whatever you need to you, and that's just the way it is. But being very forthright about it, I think it's good for everyone in the situation.
Mm-hmm, I agree. And listening to your kids, because sometimes, you know, I think I'm doing a good job and one of my children says something and I realize, like, wow, I missed that, you know, and I should, you know, I need to listen. As, you know, as they grow, I need to listen in a different way or do different things. And that sort of reverberates through career and the rest of your life. And it's a work in progress, I think.
Right. Oh, I think always. Because just as not only are our children changing and the world is changing at lightning speed, but we're changing. I think every day we grow in our own self-awareness, ideally, and who we are and what's happening and physically. I mean, everything, maybe it's small changes, maybe they're big changes, but we can't stop it. So it is that process of shifting along with it and trying to maintain on top of that shift.
Absolutely.
Well, Andrea, it's been a delight talking with you. I'm just so thrilled we got a chance to have the conversation. And
thanks so much. This is great.
Yeah, and it has been. It's been wonderful. And I know that there are many, countless women who will listen to your words and read your words in transcriptions and other ways and think, not only glean wisdom from them that they can implement, but also be grateful for hearing those comforting words that they're not alone in their quest and that it isn't a perfect way of doing things. There's no perfect balance, but that women like you who are having great success in their practices are finding other ways to have those creative outlets and yet be a very solid and terrific mom and wife at the same time. So I just appreciate you sharing all of that with folks who are listening.
Oh, thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
Great. Well, with that, we'll conclude our conversation with Andrea. I thank you for being here today and listening or reading the words. I hope you find something very meaningful that you can implement in your life and your law practice right away to help you find the vision of your success that you're looking for. So until next time, this is Kendra Brodeen, founder and CEO of WomenLawyersOnline.com. Wishing you real success always and always. Thank you so much for being with us. Bye-bye now.